All right. Sorry I didn't get bulletins printed up this week because it's just a crazy, crazy, crazy week. But really, there's just two events that we need to think about for this week for our church family, other than the normal stuff that you may be doing. This Saturday morning, I'll get the offering going in just a second. Thank you for that reminder. Are the offering guys here, Mike and get a crew? This Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, we bumped our prayer time a week forward now. So we're going to have our prayer time for June this Saturday at 10 o'clock if you're in town. And, man, I just can't stress to you enough how important that is for us. And God has blessed and honored that time. And so I just would love, even if you've never done that before, come at 10 o'clock. Either come, if you have a need, fantastic. We'd love to pray for you. But even if you just come to say, I just want to pray for this church, I want to pray for this ministry. So Saturday at 10, we're going to be here. And then Saturday evening, also here at 5 o'clock, will be the Oxford House fundraiser, the next one. It's going to be a ride, man. It's going to be great. They're going to just be burgers and hot dogs and all sorts of stuff. And if you've never been to an Oxford House fundraiser, we get this great opportunity to just to bless and encourage a number of the Oxford Houses that are in our area. And I tell you what, guys, it's having an effect. We're having a very positive witness on a lot of these people who are learning to be victorious through their addictions. But a lot of them need the Lord, and a lot of them need friends, and we can be that for them as they come. And so even though it's a bingo night and it's just fun, man, to go around and talk around and meet these people and get to know them, it's a great, great thing, plus some awesome food and all that. So come spend your money Saturday night and know it's going for a good cause. It's not gambling. It's just fun. We just kind of, yeah, it's great. It's just support raising. That's right. And then Sunday, next Sunday, even though it's Father's Day, we're going to have a special Father's Day picnic, a barbecue right after service. So if y'all want to just stay for lunch and bless on the dads a little bit, dogpile them or something, and we'll just make that a fun barbecue time, and then we'll let you guys go. Those of you who have family and you want to go celebrate, you can do that later in the afternoon, okay? So that's going on next weekend. Right. Next Sunday and Saturdays, right. Today we get a chance just to talk for a few minutes about vision, about looking forward, about sharing just who we are. Do you ever do that? Do you ever look in the mirror and go, who am I? What the heck is this thing all about? Lord, where have you taken me? Where am I going? What's going on? Sometimes, you know, we get into these ruts. We get into these routines, and they get deeper and deeper, and we don't even realize what we're doing. We're almost like one of those mice going through those labyrinth mazes, and we're just like, you know, we're just bouncing on walls, not really knowing where we're going, what's happening. And that can happen for churches as well. There's some churches around this area, I'm not ragging on them, but there's churches around here that are still doing the same thing they did 50 years ago. I mean, and the gospel still is the same, praise the Lord for that. They don't have to worry about that. But some of the other stuff, they're just still, it's just like, and it's just, where is God taking us? What is God doing? God is asking us, Two Rivers Church, to be something unique and something special and to be, if I dare use the word missional, to be missionaries in our community. And we want to just talk about that for a few minutes this morning. And we want to bless the ministry going on the corner there with the Bentleys and Hope Now Ministries. We want to spend a little bit of time talking about that. And just challenge us all of what's your part in what God is doing, okay? So to look forward, sometimes it's good to look back. There's some new people here. Do you guys know anything about Two Rivers Church? You know our story at all? I won't bore you with all the details. You can go online and read this beautiful story. This great, the author just did a wonderful job of weaving a wordsmith. Makes me cry every time I read it. I know, inspires me. But Two Rivers Church is a story about a bunch of amazing, amazing people. That's what the story is. It's not about Bonnie and I. It's not about some of the disease. It's about us. Two Rivers Church is a story about us, amazing people, seeing how God, his fingerprints are all over these amazing people that is really making an impact for the kingdom of God. Most of our story hasn't even been written yet, Anybody know how old we are? What year are we in? Anybody know? Okay, good. Wow. Yeah, we're 7 years old. First grade. Yeah. You know, we're old enough that we can't be called a church plant anymore, but we're still so young we can't even, you know, barely go to the bathroom without raising our hand going one or two, you know, teacher. So, you know, it's a bit of a challenge. Yeah. I'm sorry I said that. I don't even know where that came out of my mouth. No, that was not Holy Spirit. That was, I know that. In 2004, long time ago, God started working on my heart, started working on my wife's heart, because we were cheerleaders for church planting. We were in a larger church down in Canby, growing, exciting, three services, man. We were packed. We were booming. Things could happen in a powerful youth ministry. It was happening. And things, and it was just really an exciting time. We saw lots of people come to Christ, different things going on. And I was trying to be a church lead, cheerleader for other ministries in our area to plant new churches, for pastors to get excited about maybe starting something new, going to these places and do it. I really believe that was the secret for church growth, for the kingdom be expanded, is to start new churches. And so I was really trying to be a cheerleader for that. Nobody did it in our area, at least with our group of pastors that we were associated with. No one would do it. And I got so angry and frustrated. And finally God said, he just released us and said, you can do it. Not that we're so good that we could show everybody else how to do it. It wasn't that kind of thing. It was more like, I release you. I'd like you to try this. And then the, you know, the cheerleader, rah, 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 kind of goes, okay, yeah. I'm not so sure. Well, okay. Yeah, God, you get, you know, here I am, send that person, right? And that's how it was. But eventually we started getting excited about it. Just between us as a family, we started really praying and talking about it. Finally, we talked to the staff at Bethany Church. They got on board. It took a while. We eventually had 40 people leave Bethany Church and come start a brand new, spanking new ministry in 2005. A lot of you are here this morning. I look around, I see Ross and Willie and the Clarks, and it's just all of you. It's just so fun to see how many are still a part of this. It's exciting. It's great. And man, we've gone through a lot in 7 years. Let me tell you what, it's been quite a little growing up time. But it's, for the most part, our vision, our mission has stayed pretty much the same. 20 of those 40 people have even moved into this community. I don't know how many of you knew that. 20 of them moved in here. And the others are happy, they're praising the Lord to be able to commute. And they do it with a happy heart every time. Right, guys? All you commuters? I'm so glad I get to do this again. Yeah. Why are we named Two Rivers Church? Anybody know? It's a really deep spiritual answer. Think about it for a minute. Oh, yeah. The Euphrates and the Garden of Eden and the Jordan and the, you know, we were trying. There is no spiritual answer for why we're named Two Rivers Church. And that frustrates some people so much when I have to tell them that, honestly. But some of you said it. Really, the honest truth is, we thought we were going to be a little bit farther down in Gladstone when we first started. And as that core group of 40 people, I said, God has not given me any, I don't feel any freedom at all to say this is the name, like it or lump it. It was like I felt, you guys need to be the ones. This needs to be a democratic thing. And eventually that's the name we came up with, because we knew that the Clackamas River came into the Willamette right down there at the Clackamas Park there in Gladstone. And we thought, that's a cool name, Two River Church. It sounds good. It's easy to go off the tongue, that kind of stuff. So honestly, that's the reason. That's the reason. It's really deep. So you can impress somebody with that knowledge sometime. One of the key things, though, that helped us get started from the very beginning and is still true today is our target audience. Who are the people that we're going to try to reach out? Most of us will probably think, we'll just try to get anybody that's not going to church. Anybody, you know, they can just come to our church, and we'll get all the Christians in the area who aren't going to church, and we'll just do something. But we started thinking, you know what? There's plenty of churches that are trying to do that. Let's try to get the ones who don't want to go to church. Let's try to focus on those who don't want anything, maybe don't even want anything to do with God right now. Or if they do like God, they've had such a bad experience in churches, or they just don't, they just don't feel comfortable. They don't feel like they ever fit in. So we tried to be very intentional of creating an environment here on Sunday mornings and in our home groups through the week and youth group, all those things, a very intentional idea of being a place that is casual, comfortable, safe, a place where we can walk in the doors and take off the mask and not feel like we have to pretend, a place where we can say hurting or excited and share together and not have to try to pretend to be people that we weren't. And to be a place that, quite frankly, we often call it a hospital. A place where hurting, broken, sick people can come and get better. And I know God does that in lots of churches. But I'm so thankful for what I've seen here as being a place. We're not just a hospital. Sometimes I think we're the ER room. And we get these incredible needs. Some of you are living testament. You're living testimony of hurting really bad or not really knowing where you're going, connecting somehow with our ministry here. And God has done such a miraculous work in some of your lives. I look at some of you and say, a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, where were you? And I look and I just see miracle, 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 miracle. In process, right? Always in process. But I see God doing such an amazing work in so many of you. And it just excites me that that's what we're about. Our target audience, again, are those who maybe have never experienced a personal relationship with Christ for the first time before. Many did come, though, that did have a relationship with the Lord. And most of you who have come, you've not been like normal churchgoers. You know, you didn't just plop your buns in a pew or in a chair and say, okay, impress me. You know, yeah. But instead, most of you who have come that have known the Lord and excited about God, you have come saying, where can I serve? How can I help? And I just love that. No bleachers here. We don't have bleachers to watch other people doing the work. We're all in the game here. And that's exciting to me, what this is about. So now that we're well into our seventh year, I feel like God is challenging us in a fresh way to grow and to move. We just got a beautiful word from the Lord this morning from a brother just saying, God is so ready. You guys are ready for this next phase of incredible harvest, and time to really, really meet special needs. And it was just felt like God was speaking to us in a very special way. It was just beautiful. And I just agree with that. I agree that it just feels like God is really wanting to do something more here and to expand outwardly. And not just to expand and get bigger for bigger sake, but to expand in a deeper way, to grow deeper roots. For those of us who are pretty new at this, that we get deep into the Word, we get deep into our relationship with the Lord so that nothing, no storm of life will knock us down. We need that depth. So our prayer is that we certainly grow outwardly, we push out the walls of the kingdom, taking away the darkness and letting the light of Jesus Christ shine, right? The gospel shine. But we're also challenging each other to really grow deep roots. What I'd like to do with you is just share one passage of scripture, and that's in Ephesians 4. It's really hard to see up there, isn't it? Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, Ephesians 4, 11 through 15 says. And it's a fivefold thing that Paul lists here: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And they're the responsibility of these key leaders, the main leaders, the ones who have the spiritual gift of these things, their responsibility is to equip or prepare God's people to do his work and to build up his church. Okay, wait a minute. Paul messed up here. Who does the work? I get paid. I should be the one doing all the work, right? I mean, some of the key leaders, the home group leaders, they're the ones that do the work, right? What's Paul saying? Who does the work? We all do the work. The job of the main leaders is to equip God's people to do the work of the ministry. Sorry, you guys thought you got off the hook there for a second, didn't you? No such luck. And then Paul says, this all will continue until we have all come to such unity in our faith. Oh, hear the passion in Paul's voice here. This all is going to happen until you come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. You almost can feel the roots going deep and just feel that foundational stuff going on. And he says, we're going to measure up to our best friend. We're going to measure up to the other church across the street. We're going to measure up to whatever the latest TV evangelist is doing they're on the tube. No, God. What Paul says is we're going to measure up, no big deal. We're just measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So it is like, Casey, come here. You're going to be Jesus, all right? Just for a sec. Don't get too. Okay, Mary, come here. All right. I needed someone just a little bit shorter than Casey. I'm sorry I had to pick on you, but that's all right. So you stand. No, you're good. So just for the fun of it, what Paul is saying is we have to measure up to the full, complete standing of Christ, the standard. It's as if Jesus Christ is next to us as a ruler, as a guidance. And Paul's saying our job is just to help each other measure up to that example. How many of you guys are freaked out by that? How many of you honestly are freaked out by that idea? And God bless you, Mary. Thank you for being here. You are measuring up wonderfully. You're not quite there yet, but you keep working on it. Oh, thought you had it, didn't you? But I just am so blown away by this idea that that's our measuring stick. How do we know when we're strong in the Lord? How do we know that we're mature? How do we know that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing? Oh, let's just measure ourselves up to Jesus. That's all. I'm just blown away by that. It keeps going, just a little bit more. This is then, when that happens, we, point at yourself maybe just a little bit, we will no longer be immature like Christians. We won't be tossed to and fro like a buoy in the waves. We won't be blown by the wind, by every new teaching. Oh, did you hear what so-and-so said on TV? Oh, he was so powerful, so anointed. Was it biblical? Well, I don't know. It was just so cool. Blown away by this, blown away by that. But we won't be. We will no longer be immature because we have set our standard to Jesus Christ. If ever there's a warped board, you carpenter people, if there's a warped stud, a 2x4, what we often do to unwarp it is with a bunch of heavy sinkers, and we nail that sucker to a very straight board, and it becomes stronger. And it's like we're these warped boards who, with a little bit of pounding and a little bit of security, we are completely fastened to the beautiful, straight, perfect Jesus. Oh, what a picture. We're not tossed around to and fro by every new thing. We're not going to be influenced when people try to trick us, when people lie to us, and they do it cleverly. They do it talking God talk, and they deceive us. But we're not going to be deceived anymore when we are fastened to that perfect standard. Instead, we're going to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth, yes, but in love. You never speak the truth to crush, to hurt, to pound, to make yourself higher. You only can speak the truth if you can do it in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. It's a process. It doesn't happen instantly. I know that because I'm not even close. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not even close. But every day closer, more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Okay? Love that passage. And what that encourages me to do is just to remember that phrase that we said a few years ago, and it stuck with me. I think about it all the time. It says, God loves you just the way you are. Some of you might even know how to finish this, but he doesn't want us to stay that way. He wants us to be just like Jesus. God loves you just the way you are. He does. Don't ever think he doesn't. But he doesn't want you to stay the way you are. He wants you to be more like Jesus. Oh, I love that. And so what's the key to make that happen for us as Two Rivers Church? The key is home groups. Number one, and what I hope you see is radical is I didn't say this church service number one. I didn't say Sunday morning number one. I have put home groups number one. You know why? I am so convinced that that's the secret for us to grow mature, to get that depth, to measure up to Christ is through our home groups. I have a personal goal. It's every single adult in our congregation is in a home group. We're losing ground on this. We're losing ground on this. And we want to talk more about it this summer. Every single adult should be in a home group. Every single one. Because it is the foundation of our ministry for so many reasons. The youth group is a big home group, by the way. Those of you from the youth group, you're one big honking awesome youth group. So at least that's how I think of you guys. So we're going to share more about that this summer. And then second, I would put the Sunday morning stuff because what's so cool about Sunday mornings for us at Two Rivers is this is his chance for us to come on Sundays and celebrate what God's been doing this last week in our lives. We come and we get together with our friends that we don't get to see much and say, you won't believe what God did. Or we come in honesty and say, wow, that was a hard week. Would someone be willing to kind of help me and encourage me or pray for me, right? We come together, all together, we celebrate, we learn from God's word, but we realize that sometimes that's not how you get that strong foundation. The strong foundation comes by your discipline in the word and prayer and being with a group of people who love you and will care for you. The thing I love about home groups, going back to home groups, it's our care ministry. It's our deacon ministry. For those of you who know what deacons are, if you've been in another church before, you know, they're the ones that take care of the needs. They're the ones that make sure there's meals for those who've been in the hospital or they do the hospital visits, all that stuff. Our home groups, you are the deacons. You're it. You take care of each other. And what's so cool about this church, even though it's not that big yet, Two Rivers isn't that big, yet there's oftentimes, I don't hear till a day or two later that someone's in the hospital or something happened. I'm going, what? And I get kind of ticked off by that, actually, because I want to know. But what's cool about that is when I hear, but the home group has it all covered. People have been visiting. The meals are taken care of. All that's happening. And I go, wow, that's exactly the way it's supposed to happen. It's so cool. I love it. But Sunday mornings are great. It's a casual, relaxed place. Man, we have a preaching team. I try not to do it every Sunday. We have a worship leader team. We have a team of different leaders. It's important to me. I love it. I like to do a little bit of worship. I like to do a little bit of preaching. I don't know what you guys like about that or don't know, but tough. Unless you convince me otherwise. I love it. Our children's ministry on Sunday morning, it's a priority. We need to do an excellent children's ministry. And it needs to grow. It needs to expand. And a lot of us don't feel called to that. It's not our passion of life. But sometimes there's times when we need to do our passion. There's other times we just need to do what we're supposed to do. And for those of us who are equipped, able, maybe don't have a record, that kind of stuff. Some of us, I know, we can't work with kids. I understand that. But some of us can. And we need to make that a priority to help make that an excellent program. So anyway, that was a different ad I didn't have planned. But the other thing I love about Two Rivers that we started from the very beginning, and I really brag about this. I brag about you guys because a bunch of churches have started since us, of people I know. And every single one of those new churches, guess what they've done? They've put in a 10-minute break in the middle of their service. Because I talk about you guys. I talk about what we do. Is we have this open system where we realize a lot of people were in recovery. And some of us, we need a smoke break, and it's okay. It's all right. And we let that happen. And we have snacks and food because some people come hungry. And we just need food. It helps us relax. And it helps us love on each other. And it helps us talk. And so that's important. It's always a priority. It'd be so much easier not to do a 10-minute break. It'd be so much easier not to do snacks every Sunday, but it's a priority for us. That's what our Sunday, it communicates who we are, what we are on Sundays, okay? Also, just throw out real quick, young adults, because that's a priority that we want to work on. It's something our vision's about. And then finally is we want to, I don't have disciple. Oh, I do have discipleship up there. Discipleship, a continued refocusing on how we can best help you grow up in the Lord. And I don't like discipleship programs Because discipleship is never linear. It's never step one, step two, step three. I don't care what people tell you. It's never that. And you guys are all wired differently. You grow differently. But we have to be intentional about our discipleship. 2 years ago, we wrote in that thing that you'll see online if you ever read that great story. We'll say, as we look forward to the next 5 years, we hope to expand our ministry to the addicted. The key issue affecting so many in our neighborhood. We also want to establish a life skills center. Okay, I wrote this 2 years ago, right? Got it? Are you with me? 2 years ago, we wrote this. We want to establish a life skills center in our facility that ministers to the whole person, helping people out of poverty and helping them to get out of government dependence. And never, ever would I have dreamed 2 years ago that God would have answered that prayer by bringing John and Patty into our lives. I never would have planned that in a million years. I could never have orchestrated that. It's been a God thing. It's been a God thing. And one of the things we want to do this morning in the time we have is just to let John and Patty come up for a second, because they don't get to share much on Sundays, but just to share their heart a little bit about who they are, what they're doing, and why we want to, as a church ministry, we want to let everybody know that we are publicly commissioning, we are publicly connecting ourselves with that ministry, not just with John and Patty, but with all of those who are involved in this. And through the good and the bad, through the fun and the hard, we're going to connect. We're going to commit to be with that. And we want to commission them this morning in a formal way, asking that God would just anoint their ministry and bless them and help them in the future. But John and Patty, would you guys come up for a second and just share a little bit? Can you guys just thank them for what they're doing, who they are?
We kind of split this up a little bit. Just to give you a real brief history about us, John and I have been married for 3 years almost, and we had started a little business in Selwood, a little mattress store, and we were there for a year. And one of the things that pulled us together was, we started dating because we both had a vision about a ministry like what is going on the corner, but we really didn't know what that meant. We knew it had to do with a coffee shop, with evangelism, and that was really our heart. And so we married and started business together. We've both been in business for many years. And we were there on a five-year plan for the coffee shop outreach ministry. And the building we were in Selwood was sold out from under us, and our five-year plan became God's one-year plan. And so as we were looking for a building, we actually had put a bid on this place here, and it was not something that we would have chose. And we were down to signing a lease on a better business plan, I would say, for finances. And the whole deal fell through. And about 3 months earlier, we had put a bid in on this place that was so ridiculous, and John had wrote on the top of it, it was so comical to think about even being here for us, that John wrote on the top of the lease, "This is a fleece to God." And we totally pretty much forgot about it. And it was either the afternoon or the next day that the deal fell through with the other place. Craig, the landlord from here, called and said, "We accept your offer." Yahoo! And at that point, we had to make a choice to grumble and be afraid or to step out in faith. And we made the decision to step out in faith. We started with just the mattress store there, and then it took us, and that was in November of 2010, 2 years after you guys had added this part over here. And so then we started building the coffee shop in faith. And the very weekend that it opened, we had seen that there was a church in the parking lot. Now, I know this seems ridiculous, you guys, but we were going to a lot of different churches and hadn't found a home church in the 2 years that we'd been together. And were just crying out to God for that community and that place to land. And we didn't even realize you guys were in this parking lot. We were so busy with what we were doing over there. And one day, John saw Dave putting out the Two Rivers sign for church, and he went out to talk to him, and that's when we first connected with here. So what did we do? We got online. We got to check it out, right? And as we read the statement that you just shared, we wept, because this is what we feel God has called us to do, the Life Skills Center. Where would Jesus set up shop? Obviously, we didn't have anything to do with it. This is where he has set up shop here. And so for us to be surrendered and humble to that, that's our goal. That's our heart. That's what we want to do, is provide a safe place for people that aren't necessarily ready to step into church yet. And every week it's looked different. Some weeks it's the homeless. Other times it's not. So many times people have said, I don't drink coffee. I don't know why I've stopped here. But every time I go by, I feel drawn to come in here. And we don't really do a whole lot. We've made a lot of mistakes. But what we see happening there is, since we've given that to God, we have seen, well, we don't have the answers. We don't know what to do. Let us pray with you. We'll be praying for housing or a job or something for someone. And we say amen, and someone walks through the door and starts talking to that person, and they have a solution that can meet that person's problem. And we've seen that over and over and over. Things like the bus ministry, you know, that was something on our heart to do, but not, we didn't feel called to do it. And the Lord connected us with Brian and David, and we see that being sent out. And it's not anything that, you know, we planned, okay, this is our, what we're going to do. This is our program. This is our plan. It's what we've seen God do there. And it's been really beautiful to watch. How we got the name Hope Now is, once we connected with this, it just has pretty much a deeper spiritual meaning for us. But the word hope, H-O-P-E, stands for House of Prayer Evangelists. And to us, it's key to be on our knees and pray, because we don't want to mess up what God is, how God has set up shop here to do his work. And it's real easy to get in the way with a bunch of programs and different things. And that's not what we want. And then how we got the now was, the Lord had really spoke to our hearts that this was going to be new wine from heaven. This was going to be something different, not another program, but it was going to be Jesus to the people. And so we put the new wine on the O, and so in the cross we've got hope now. And so that's how we came up with the name, or the Lord revealed his name. One of the things that really sticks out to me that I want to share with you, and it's 1 Corinthians 12. But it says that we are one unit or one body in Christ together. And we really feel led that this isn't about Bentley's or even this church. It's about what God wants to do in this community. And each one of us has a different role and a different purpose in that. And we are all one body with many parts. We all have our different things. And coming together in a place of unity where we can all step out in one goal, one purpose, and that is to share the love of Jesus Christ with people and the good news, and bring deliverance to those that are in need. We do have some goals, and I'm going to let John share, you know, about our vision. I'm really excited about the Life Skills Center and teaching life skills, and every single week it's different. Sometimes it's finances, sometimes it's grocery shopping, sometimes it's taking care of your feet so that you can just stay alive. But for every different person, it's been a different thing. And anyway, so You get the idea. Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm going to turn it over to John now so he can tell you his heart about all this.
She's a little bit nervous. I'm up there. Okay, so first of all, I'd like to read a scripture, Matthew 25:40. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And that is primary in our minds at all times. Our mission of Hope Now is to promote a partnership with the local community to provide immediate hope to people who need or in need crisis in the Oak Grove community and all over Clackamas County. The vision of Hope Now is to promote physical, mental, and spiritual need through prayer, evangelism, and outreach. Purpose of Hope Now is to pursue and share the life-changing reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, benevolence, compassion, hope, and discipleship as we answer the call of the Great Commission. And as we all know, in Matthew, it talks about the Great Commission as we are called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is our little chunk right here, and we take it very, very serious. Couple of the things that we really, really like to say, and it gives us the best job in the whole world, is our job is we get to love people into the kingdom. How awesome is that? Nobody has a job like we do. It's so beautiful. And we've seen it over and over again. People that come in that are angry, hopeless, sit down with them, feed their stomachs, get to know them, get a trust going. And then next thing you know, we're talking about the Lord. We're praying with them. That prayer, we may see a tear. They're not ready to come to Christ, but they felt touched there. So they go away, they come back again. It's a process. It's a beautiful process. I already said that. Three, to take, this is another thing that Patty and I love to say, is that we want to take as many people home to heaven with us as we possibly can. And that has been probably our main goal and statement through this whole thing. We appreciate you guys as being part of a body and allowing us to join with you folks. We had the privilege of going to a seminar this weekend, and they talked about the eyes and the ears and the hands and the feet, and you know, they're all important pieces, and we all have our job and our purpose and our destiny. And I encourage each and every one of you to find that purpose and that destiny to further the kingdom. Now, I didn't know if I was going to do this, and Patty cautioned me on it, but I don't know if you need to stand up, but maybe just a raise of hands. I'm curious, since Hope Now, which, by the way, Hope Now is Hope Now. It's not John and Patty Bentley. It is Jesus Christ's community. We want to take no part of the credit of what's going on up there. It's totally Holy Spirit, Jesus, all the way. So I see many, many people here that have counseled, given their hearts to the Lord. They come in and pray. Volunteers, beautiful. I see quite a few that are missing, but I'm just curious, in this audience right now, if you just raise your hands, if you've been over at the coffee shop and have had a pleasant experience, a God experience. Wow, look around, you guys. Look around. This is beautiful. And I encourage those that have not been over, come over, check us out. We could not possibly, in the 10 minutes, which we probably already taken 20, to answer all the questions that you might have. We were going to open it for questions, but yeah, Rob says no. So, yes, but I encourage you to come over and set us down and talk about whatever you'd like. We're open for that.
I just wanted to add one more thing that I think is so cool. I'm not a numbers person at all, so the Lord puts this in my mind so I can remember, and it's so cool. I just really want to share it. On the sixth day of the sixth month, the 66th person was led to the Lord in our coffee shop, which that number started, we started counting 1 year ago on June 1st. And it's what the Lord is doing. Now, we haven't led all those people to the Lord. Other people, you know, have prayed with people. But just to have a place to go that is like that is incredible. We have the best job in the whole world.
All right. Thank you, guys. All right. Here's what we want to do to close. Yep. Here's what we want to do to close is it is the Lord, but God uses his people. And we look at John and Patty not only as our brothers and sisters and our friends, but as our missionaries. And so we want to formally just put into your brains, ingrained in your spirit, as well as just make this commitment publicly that there are missionaries. That includes financial help. That includes ministry support, praying for them all the time, and doing anything we can, not just to help the ministry, but perhaps to help them as a couple. That's and I know it's going to be bigger than Two Rivers, the ministry is. I know it already is, and it will be more, and that's great. But right now, God is asking us to make that commitment to them. I want to now turn it to you to be, as we close, all right? I'm going to ask all of you to stand. And it's been a good morning just to talk about vision, to talk about what God is doing. And as we commission, as I feel your commission on me, as we've prayed for John and Patty commission, I want to now commission you because it's up to you guys. It's not up to us. When we first started the church, somehow we got started in this tradition at the end of every service. We say a line. What is it? I have absolutely no idea how that got started. I swear to you, it was never a plan. It was never a plan. And it was always, it just started happening. It just started happening. And if I don't say it or someone else doesn't say it, you guys get ticked off. And we have to make sure somebody says go be the church before we leave. I don't know how that got started. I really don't, but I am so thankful it did. Because it's a constant reminder that these buildings, this building, these walls are not the church. The leadership is not the church. We are the church. We are the church. And it's your responsibility to go spread that light in the dark areas. It's your responsibility. It's your job to love and care and to be the Lord's representative. And boy, is that a scary thing to be. Because sometimes our character doesn't quite match up to that, does it? And so we are constantly helping each other to live up to that standard, to be Christ's representatives. I can't do this myself, guys. It's way bigger than me. I'm barely floating here sometimes. I have no idea what I'm doing half the time. It's up to you. It's up to you. We need you. God needs you to make this ministry a success and a victory, all right? So let's pray. I'm going to pray for you. And you can either just have that, an open hand feeling, even if it's just symbolic, but you're just saying, just to receive from the Lord what he wants to give you this morning, to not only help you to worship now, but now to commission you to go out and to be his servants, to be his representatives. I pray the Jude benediction for you, first of all, right? Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away. All glory to God, who brings you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to God, God who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time, forever and ever. Amen. Go be the church. God bless you guys.